Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, I'm Callum Stoneman, and welcome to another episode of Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, our programme that looks at all things technology related from a blind and partially sighted perspective. If you want to get in contact with us, you can drop us an email to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's techtalk at rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, Tony Gebbard will be joining us to talk all about his new book, No Sight Required, A Blind User's Guide to AI. Also, we'll have an update on some of the new products available in the RNIB Products for Life store, and we'll be hearing another one of our volunteer voices. The usual full house co-hosts this week, Jackie Brown, Hubert Pavalkovic, and Natalie Curran. Let's see what's going on this week with everyone. Hubert, what's anything new with you?
A short one, but if you are brave enough, and last year, to be honest, had a fairly positive experience with this, the public beta testing versions of all the Apple OSs are currently out. So iOS 27, iPadOS 27, macOS 27, all of these are out now. You can public beta test them. Now, of course, if you do want to give these a try, at your own risk, because we've all had various mixed experiences. So although I say they are out, you choosing to try them is at your own risk, because they will still have bugs. So do keep this in mind. However, if you would like a glimpse of what you will get in September, which I may be doing following a positive experience last year, then they are currently out. And the easiest way to do it is going to the settings on your devices, general software update, and turning on the beta updates, and you'll be able to download it there if you are brave enough to do so.
Yeah, these have been a lot more positive lately in terms of bugs and stuff, but I would still be careful.
I would say use a secondary device. If you've got a secondary device and you would like to, like what I always do, is start off with the iPad first.
Yeah.
My iPad gets it first. And if it works stable on the iPad, then I might get it on the phone. But the primarily part is on the iPad, so that if something really goes wrong, the main phone is still intact. because I have had an experience, well, from someone that I've heard who did decide to beta test, I think it was a long time ago, it was iOS 13.
Oh, yeah.
And at one point, he couldn't make phone calls on his very expensive phone. Quite an important issue, that. Use a secondary device first. And if it's stable on there, then if you choose to, you can then get it on your main device. But if you would like to see what Siri AI may be like, you will be put on a waiting list. But people, from what I've heard, have waited like a week to be put on the waiting list, so it's not a long wait. So you may be able to give Siri AI a try as well, and a few other bits and pieces. So yeah, if you want to give a go, last night I know me and David Hogg often do the beta testing, and we'll probably come on Tech Talk in a few weeks to discuss it.
So I'm looking forward to this. I think we've got some good things coming in iOS 27. So yeah, the beta updates are out. As you said, yeah, proceed at your own risk, ideally on a secondary device if you can. Jackie, anything from you this week?
Yeah, just to say that LISI 11.5, this is Brian Hartchin's LISI program that is kind of interwoven with JAWS, but he's done an awful lot of work on this release. I know my husband is part of the beta team, and he has been really busy, really enjoyed doing a lot of the beta testing. And he said that it's really worth waiting for. There's a lot of the kind of little apps within LISI have turned into apps rather than scripts. I know you, Callum, have interviewed Brian for Tech Talk, so no spoilers, but just that 11.5 is now available if you're a JAWS user. You just install it over the top of your existing copy of LISI. And if you are a new LISI user, or you want to subscribe to LISI and buy it, it's 35 quid, so it is really well worth the money. But it does offer a huge amount within the JAWS program. So that's available, and there's a lot of documentation on Brian's website to do with it as well.
There is, yeah. So we are going to be hearing from Brian, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I think. But there is a lot in there. I can't wait to try this. I haven't installed it yet because it only came out today at the time that we're recording. So I've not had a chance to kind of take the update and have a play with it. But there's a lot in there that I'm looking forward to. The main one being, and I say this in the interview as well, there's a Lisi calendar app coming out. I think it's called Lisi Diary, which did exist in the old versions of Lisi, but it was pretty basic. Whereas it's got a lot more advanced now, and I'm looking forward to this because I've, apart from Outlook, which is okay, but it's a lot if you're a personal user. You know, it's very kind of beefy and bloated. Obviously, it does do a good job of email and calendar, but it's probably more than most people need. And of course, you've got to subscribe to the whole Office 365 thing. But apart from that, I haven't found a decent calendar client really for Windows, especially when you've got like 2 minutes to go for a meeting and you're trying to find the link to it in your invites. That's always a pain for me.
The one that frustrates me with that is when people, I think they're trying to be helpful. So if it's a Microsoft Teams invite and it's sort of auto-populated in the email, just leave it. Because some people trying to be helpful will delete the location and will put in the location field invite in the email body or something like that. And actually, all that does is break the connection between Outlook and Teams. So instead of being able to click the Join Teams button, particularly on the app, and I think on like the Outlook pop-ups, if you get the reminder pop-up, you have to open up the calendar invite, tab along to the email, and then find the link.
Oh,
Don't touch
this does my head in
it.
because this is the thing as well. With Outlook, because with Outlook at work, it works fine because it's all tied in. And like you said, a Teams link comes up, a Teams invite comes up, you click join, it'll throw you into Teams, or you can even do it directly from Teams. And that's that. But on my personal one, even if I've got a Teams link, it doesn't work like that. And I haven't really found a way to get it to do it. Teams as a personal user is really
No,
weird
it
because there's about
doesn't.
10 different versions. Yeah. But yeah, people do this at work all the time. They'll put the link in the email itself. And what that does for me and what annoys me is that you click on this Teams link, usually within Teams, because I find that's the easiest way to browse through the calendar invite. It then opens up Edge and says, "Do you want to open Teams?" Stop it. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to find out everything that's new, because there is a lot more. As you said, Brian's got some great documentation out there. And stay tuned because we're going to be hearing from him. And he even chucked in a couple of little demos for us as well. So we'll be hearing those soon. Natalie, what about you?
I think I had much for this week, and then something happened this morning that I thought I'd mention. So, very unusually for me, I decided to record a voice note on Voice Memos, just on the standard iPhone app. And I had forgotten that my alarm was still on. So, midway through the recording, my alarm went off. So, I clicked the volume button just to snooze it for another 9 minutes. Because my note voice note wasn't going to take that long. And I checked to hear how voiceover sounded. So if you've ever recorded a voicemail or a voice note, you'll notice the same thing if you use that kind of feature on WhatsApp or messages or other platforms like that, that voiceover kind of what you call ducks, it's audio ducking, so you can still hear it, but it's maybe slightly muffled or sounds a bit distant. So VoiceOver announced the time because it was on the lock screen and it had that audio ducking feature. So I thought, okay, cool, that alarm, I've stopped it and the recording's still happening. So I kept talking, all fine. I then checked my phone to find the stop button, stop recording, all good. And I go back and check the recording length, and it's about half what I expect it to be. And I thought, okay, has there been a problem? But all the signs were there to suggest it wasn't. So I listened back to the voice note, and sure enough, it stops halfway when the alarm goes off.
Oh.
And I thought, okay, fine, maybe it's split up into two. Maybe it stopped one and started another. Nope. It just stopped. So I was happily talking to myself for the next few minutes. And I know it's a very niche case, and a lot of people might be thinking, yeah, but how often does this happen? But I thought other people might use voice memos a lot more than I do. And I imagine this would happen irrespective of what interrupts it. So in my case, it was an alarm. For somebody else, it might be that somebody phones at the wrong time or whatever it might be. And what I'm saying is, although I did do what I considered to be enough checks, you might just want to stop the recording and start again yourself, and that way you know what you've got, what you're working with, because that was very irritating. And the only thing I was going to mention this morning, actually, before this happened, was just a small flag. I'll maybe talk more about it next week. Is I've been working outside a little bit this week, and it's one of those fun, fortunate coincidences where, because I can't see the screen, I have no problem working outside.
Oh, I love that.
Because a lot of people struggle with the sun glare. What I have had a problem with is my laptop overheating. So I have just bought my laptop a little umbrella. So that's arriving today, and I'll let you guys know next week how I get on with that.
On, a laptop? What do you mean a laptop umbrella? Is this a like a specific thing?
Well, to be fair, when I typed in laptop umbrella, I got lots of sort of privacy screen type
Oh yeah.
things, and things to designed to fit a certain feature, blah blah blah. And I thought, do you know what? I don't need anything that high tech. So I actually just typed in sort of small tabletop umbrella, so one that I could just stand on the table. And I found one, I think it was about £15, that it was like mini foldable. And I thought that would probably do the trick. But like I say, I don't know until I try it. It might be that I've just ordered myself a human umbrella. But I thought I'll give it a go because, yeah, my poor laptop, genuinely within about 10 minutes, I thought it was going to spontaneously combust because it was so hot. And this was in Glasgow, where we're still about 10 degrees cooler than the rest of the UK.
Yeah, so for those who are outside the UK, we're having a bit of a heat wave over here at the minute. Which, to be fair, I say heat wave. If you're in Australia, you'll probably be in your, jumpers and stuff in our weather. But for us, it's a heat wave. And I've had it with my phone as well. I've just been, even just having my phone in my pocket, I've been just sat there in the sun, and then I'll take my phone out and I've got this kind of, your iPhone is about to shut down because it's too hot.
Yeah, you do need to be careful.
Yeah, you do need to watch out for that. So I don't want to talk too much about this because, one, I don't really know that much about it, and two, it's a bit of a nerdy thing at the minute. But I've been playing with so on Claude, which is another AI service similar to sort of ChatGPT and Gemini, but I think it's built more for the sort of technical purposes. There's a feature on there called Claude Cowork, and this is where it can access your computer and it can sort of navigate around your desktop and click on things and all that kind of stuff. All the sort of thing that I've been really nervous about installing because I don't know, I just don't like the idea of AI being able to do what it wants on my computer. But this one apparently is fairly, I don't want to say safe, but it's fairly restrictive. Like whenever I've been using it, it will ask before it does anything. So I'll put in a prompt and it will say, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to access. Do you allow that? And then throughout it as well, it will say, like, Claude wants to access this app. Is that okay? And you can choose always allow or just allow for this session or whatever. But I got it because I'd heard a lot about it. And it was my son's birthday recently. And someone bought him, like, a. Do you know these, like, if you're a parent, you'll probably know these, like, Leapfrog toys?
Oh,
These, like,
yeah.
kit. And for some reason, I don't know why. Basically, these are toys where you can put little books in and it will do different stories, and some of them are interactive type things. It's like a learning device. So for some reason though, you get it out of the box and it says, to get this thing set up, plug it into your computer and download Leapfrog connect. And first off, I'm thinking, really? Do we really need tech in this? Like, come on. I plug it in, I download the app. It's exactly the sort of app you'd expect. Completely inaccessible. According to my wife, it looks terrible as well. So, but I thought, right, okay, well, I'm going to give this co-work a try. So I brought it up on my screen and then I said, I'm trying to set this up. I'm completely blind. It's not accessible with my screen reader. Go through this app. Tell me what it's doing. And when it needs input from me, put me on the text field and tell me what it needs. And it did. So it went through and it said, these are, okay, the first screen it's on is the terms and conditions. Do you agree? Well, it said, do you want to read them or do you want to just agree? I thought, that's nice. Probably not ideal, but it knows the way we work.
Yeah.
So I said, yep, agree to them. That's fine. And then it said, okay, it's just doing some intro screens. So I'm just going to click next through these. If you want me to transcribe them, though, just let me know. And then it said, okay, it now wants you to put in your email address. I've put you on the email address field. All of this, by the way, before it even started this, it was saying, I'm going to access the app. I'm going to need mouse controls and a couple of other things as well. But basically, it just talked me through step by step, setting up the account, setting up the type of thing that we were going to use it for. And then, thankfully, you download the stories and the different things on the website, by the looks of it, and then you just use the app to transfer it onto the device. So that's not too bad. I was so impressed by it.
That's very impressive, yeah.
For how it actually works, I'm not gonna really get into that, because you do want to be... First off, I had to do a few pretty techie steps to actually get it working. And also, you've got to be very, very careful with these apps, because although it asks, can I do this, can I do that all the time, you still just never know what it's going to do and what it's going to take a screenshot of. And
I was thinking that. So obviously it worked fine for you, but I did think if somebody hacked that.
Yeah.
I would be wary. I mean, I was taken aback just when my own personal co-pilot, I'd asked it a question, can't remember what it was, and it said, I couldn't find anything in your files, so I'm now going to look the internet. So I look on the internet. And I went, whoa. I never told you could look in my files. And the reason I asked you the question is because I don't know the answer, not because it's hidden in my file.
Yeah.
And obviously with Copilot, I'm kind of like, I'm okay in terms of it as a personal account. And, you know, I've asked Copilot itself, like, if I ask you a question, are you going to send this off to the cloud? And it's like, no, I won't. But even so, it was just that kind of, you know, as you say, Cam, just being very mindful of what you are allowing access to and where possible, give it restricted access, you know, like you say, just for this session. So you might find it annoying having to constantly say, yes, it's okay to access this, but it's definitely safer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I've not given it access to, say, emails or anything like that. I always make sure those apps are closed when I'm running it. It doesn't run on startup or anything like that. It won't run unless I specifically bring it up. I think what I'm probably going to do, and this is one way of doing it, is I might give it its own user account and then only give that account access to specific things, like in Windows, and then hopefully that should restrict it, because Windows itself would be managing the permissions.
Restricted.
So, be very careful if you want to use this. I'm not going to detail how you get it working, just because I don't want to be responsible for that risk if you take it. But it is very, very impressive. I only used it for that one thing so far, and I think I'm going to be very selective of what I use it for, but it's good. It's good. I mean, it got me through that one pretty well. Well, a lot to get into this week, as always. There's always something going on in the tech world. Stick with us. This is Tech Talk. Time now to welcome back to Tech Talk, someone who's becoming a bit of a good friend to this show. We've had him on before talking about his NVDA Coach add-on. We've also had him on one of our tech timeline features. And now he's released a book. Tony Gebhard, welcome back to Tech Talk. You never stop.
Thank you, Callum. I appreciate that. No, everyone at the RNIB and the show has been Just a great resource and a great networking community, and I'm grateful to share this space with everyone. And yes, thank you. No, I do not stop. My partner tells me I need to take a break every once in a while.
Obviously, we have covered it before, but just very quickly for those who might not have heard it, just tell us a bit about NVDA Coach, which I think is the thing that, like, one of the things that you're kind of associated with now, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for that. So NVDA Coach is the first training sandbox for NVDA that walks you through all the fundamentals and basics of navigating the computer with NVDA, reading through text, navigating a website, filling out forms, and it provides a sandbox environment for you to test everything that it has you do. And when I say sandbox, I mean just a place where you can test a space without breaking anything. And it goes where you go. You know, it goes at your own pace. It explains everything to you like an instructor would, and walks you through different incremental spaces. And yeah, it's an excellent training module that can be accessed to the NVDA add-on store. If you already are familiar with NVDA, this might be a good resource that you could share with a friend or colleague that could benefit from self-paced training. And it's been a real fun journey getting to watch the impact of this training get into the hands of people who need it most.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. It really is a brilliant add-on. And I'm not even saying this because you're on the show. I just genuinely, you know, we had a demo of it on the show as well. If you go back a few weeks in the podcast feed, you'll be able to find it. But honestly, I've recommended it to a few people and I just can't speak highly enough of it. You know, it's just such a clever way of doing it, you know, just making it self-paced, making it really simple, just these little, you know, bite-sized chunks kind of thing.
One piece at a time. And, you know, it goes at your pace. And that's the big, I would say the, you know, justification and intentions going into it is, you know, we just need things thrown at us in little pieces versus throwing an entire user guide at somebody.
And that leads me quite nicely onto the book that you've written then. So you've wrote a book, it's called No Sight Required. And the way you've phrased it is a guide to mastering AI with a screen reader. So do you want to tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, this is a the first of its kind right now on the market, available in the US, the UK, and Australia, and I believe other space. I'm new to the the publishing area, so I can't say for sure. But the book dives into the fundamentals again and foundations of what is this AI stuff, what does it mean, and how can we apply it to us as blind and visually impaired individuals. It's written from a first person's perspective, and I walk you through everything from understanding a screen reader to building an app in a terminal. So there might be pieces in this book that go way over your head or some that are very underwhelming. And the book is meant to be skimmed at times. I say you don't have to read it from cover to cover if you don't really want to. I made it for the general public of BVI and the sighted world who's curious to really bring awareness to how we use assistive technologies. What does it mean when we, you know, open Gemini to have it describe something to us while it's streaming via video? What does it mean to take a picture and have a description? And it really covers those bases so we can, in a way, get rid of the stigma and taboos that AI has, you know, created in the mainstream these past few years, and, you know, gauge the potential as blind people that we have to be, you know, almost at the front row again, because now we have an opportunity to be at the front row. That's what this book is about. Take back control, because now you're seeing people vibe coding solutions to problems we didn't know we had. Vibe coding solutions to, you know, different scenarios where we could benefit.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think, you know, it's been said a few times now that I think blind people, like, are not everyone, obviously, but those who are able to get into this are probably way ahead of the curve with all this AI stuff compared to the general population, I guess, because it's so useful to us in, like you said, solving some of those solutions. You know, I mean, how many stories just in the last few months have we heard of where a product isn't accessible and a company aren't willing to do anything about it? So then, thanks to things like Claude from Anthropic or Codex from ChatGPT, or from OpenAI, I should say, they've been able to just kind of make their own accessible interface to it. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Oh, it is. It is fascinating. And people are being experimental as well, you know, with everything. And it's just like, wow, that's so crazy. And the other thing that's helpful in the book is at the end of the book, there is an appendix that goes into all of the terms that are used. There's a resource list with podcasts, news outlets, you know, magazines, YouTube channels that are really good about talking about this technology stuff, and RNIB is in that list. That's another thing I want to cite here just as a helpful piece. So if you get anything out of reading this book after picking it up, I want you to be able to look into these resources at the end of the book, especially so that you have sources of information that you can run to in a community that you can connect with, especially RNIB, who has done incredible outreach and connection with the population in the UK, National Federation of the Blind here in the US, and many others that are cited as very public reliant resources. So I wanted to make sure I outlined that here.
Yeah, I mean, the things that I mentioned there were for vibe coding apps and stuff. They're all quite techie, but as you said before, this book isn't necessarily for the techies, but it isn't necessarily for the basics either. It just, similar to NVIDIA Coach, I guess, it goes from the very start right up to the complex. Was some of that thinking kind of adapted from the way you created NVIDIA Coach as well?
Oh, I would say so. Probably my brain goes 1,000 miles an hour, but I think the thing that has always been at the forefront of my mind is, how would have I wanted this explained to me as an adolescent getting into assistive technology with respect, dignity, and patience? And I think that's been the leading principle for the content. So you're absolutely right. This book, it may not be for the you know, the ultimate techie individual who's earned their stripes, right? But it gets users to a point where you can go back and read sections. Okay, you can go back and reread the resources. You can go back and steal the prompts from chapter 14, which I curated as placeholders to get you started with understanding how to build or how to get information through Claude, Gemini, and ChatGPT. And you, the user, the reader, the individual, can make the judgment call on what to do next. I'm not going to tell you what to do. That's not my prerogative. That's not Callum's prerogative. That's not anyone's prerogative with the work that we do. It's more of, here's everything that I know, and here's everything that we can organize into hopefully an understandable chunk bit by bit, that gives you the confidence and permission, right? Because you got to give yourself the permission to do this so you can be independent, so you can be successful, and you have the information to act accordingly, whether it be at home, the workplace, at school, with your families, you name it. The world is yours.
How do you keep up when you're writing something like this? Because this world of AI, I mean, it changes. You go to bed one night and everything's, you know, as you knew it. You wake up one morning and something massive has come along.
Yeah.
Like, literally overnight. It's unbelievable at the minute.
Oh, Lord. It is. And I think that's why I wrote the resources down in the book. It's the resources. You know, I listen to RNIB. I listen to all sorts of others that are based in the UK, based in the US. They've been really great about, you know, keeping me up to date with what's going on. And, you know, I follow some mainstream channels as well that have maintained great track records with keeping up in the modern AI world as well. Matt Wolf, for example, he's a great content creator on YouTube and LinkedIn. Matt VidPro AI, he's another guy. They're both fantastic. I love them to death. And though, I mean, just as a couple of examples of, you know, just keeping that up to date, right? Because, you know, at the beginning of the month, Claude had the most powerful AI model in the world. And yeah. Then a week later, they didn't, right? Yes. So things change very quickly. And, you know, there'll probably will have to be a second edition to No Site Required at the beginning of 2027, you know, so
yeah,
if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But more importantly, it's getting the resources in people's hands.
So tell people then how they can get hold of the book and how much it costs and basically where they can find out more.
So you can go to nositerequired.com. NoSiteRequired.com is where everything can be found. Any questions that you might have, a little bit of a piece of the book is also on that site. You can read the author's note. And you can buy it directly from me for $15, which I think is maybe around 11 pounds or so, 11, 12 pounds. You can request it in whatever format you want. I currently have available .docs. EPUB and MP3s coming soon. Right now, the audiobook that I have available is an 11 Labs generated audiobook, and I'm waiting to hear back from ACX from Amazon about Audible. So I'll have a narrator hopefully by the end of the summer. So that's something to keep on the lookout in the future. But also, you can buy it directly on Amazon as well. You can get the Kindle edition for $15, or you can buy a paperback copy for $20 through Amazon right now. So nositerequired.com to get all the information you could need, and that'll take you directly to the Amazon listing if you wish to go the Amazon route. Otherwise, you can buy it directly from me and receive a copy of the format that you want.
Fantastic. Well, if you're interested in this all this AI stuff that we keep talking about every week, or if you're trying to get started with it, or if you just want to make sure you're getting the most out of it, then it's definitely well worth checking out. I mean, I use AI all the time, but I'm definitely going to be buying this, as I discovered with NVIDIA Coach. I'm sure there's stuff that I don't know. So yeah, well worth checking out. NoSiteRequired.com if you want to get more information on that. Tony Gebhard, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Callum. Appreciate that.
We are joined again here on RNIB Connect Radio by Charlie Jarvis, RNIB Shops Buying Administrator, to highlight a couple of new products that have just been added to the RNIB online shop, which you will find by visiting shop.rnib.org.uk/connect. Hello, Charlie, and how are you?
Hi, Toby. I'm very good, thank you. Just trying to stay cool in this weather.
Indeed, indeed. We have a couple of exciting tech products to chat about this time. And let's start with the RealSam Pocket A17 Lifetime Phone, a voice-operated mobile smartphone for people with sight loss, which is completely controlled by your voice with speech feedback too.
Absolutely, yes. So this is fully accessible and it's designed to be really simple to use. So it takes all the complication out of other mainstream smartphones that you might find on the market. It's built on a Samsung A17 handset and it's designed to be used without any sight. So it will read your mail and manage your phone calls, text messages, but you can also stream audio and check the weather, and it gives you tools to stay independent. So everything that you would be able to do on a regular smartphone, you can do on the RealSam Pocket, but it just gives you that more accessible experience with the voice activation and voice operated software. So this one is unlocked for any mobile tariff. So regardless of who your telephone provider is at the moment, you'll be able to transfer that over on this handset. And that is currently priced at £849 ex-VAT.
And I suppose some people might think, well, that's quite an expensive sort of price for a mobile smartphone. But I would say that it's pretty similar to any other mobile smartphone that you'll find out on the market. And the great thing, as you say, this is based on the Samsung A17 phone, which is pretty up to date and, you know, has all those features that you would expect on a smartphone. But obviously, you know, it's controlled by your voice, which is incredible.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's for those people that sort of care about appearances, it is just your standard smartphone. So you're not carrying around anything that's big and bulky or brightly coloured and that's going to be easily noticeable. I know myself, if I'm going to have equipment, I like it to be quite discreet. And this is that exactly. So yeah, it is a really good option because it has all of those features, but is specifically designed for visually impaired people. So you know you're going to get the accessible experience with it.
Well, now to an easy-to-use media player and Bluetooth speaker, the Ravencourt Living Talking Easy USB Music and Radio Player.
Absolutely. That's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? But this is a fantastic product. So it's essentially a simplified music player, but with voice-guided menu navigation. So you can set your favourite DAB radio stations. You can also play audio from a USB stick. So whether that be your talking books or if you have downloaded music on there or podcasts from a USB, you can use it as a Bluetooth speaker to play music, podcasts and books from smartphone or tablet. So you can either connect it to your RNIB Reading Services app, or if you use Audible, for example, you can connect to that as well, your Apple or Android podcasts. It announces functions and settings allowed, so any button you press will be spoken to you, so you don't have to worry about not being able to see the buttons. It's a simple one-touch operation. The USB audio playback has bookmarking functionality, so when you're reading and you want to stop and take a break, it will remember where you left off when you sort of pick back up again. It's designed to be portable, so you can move it around your home depending on where you like to listen, and it does have a rechargeable battery with up to 6 hours battery life. So if you wanted to spend some time in the garden in this hot weather, you could take it outside with you and listen, and you'd get a really good stint of listening out of it before it needed to be recharged. And this one is priced at £110 ex-VAT.
Well, to find out more about the RealSam Pocket A17 Lifetime Phone and the Ravencourt Living Talking Easy USB Music and Radio Player, as well as many other products in the RNIB online shop, do go to shop.rnib.org.uk/connect. Well, thank you very much indeed, Charlie, for chatting with me again here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about some really great techie products that people can find in the RNIB online shop.
Thank you.
This is Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Well, today with me is Richard Asher, who is a volunteer at the Edinburgh Tech Hub. Richard, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us. Can I start by asking you how you became a volunteer for RNIB? What made you think about volunteering?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. It's much appreciated. I've had family who have had sight loss problems throughout their life. My brother, Stephen, he actually used to work at the reception here at the Hillside office in Edinburgh, and he himself was partially sighted. And then later on in life, my mum started to lose her sight. So it's something that's always been something that's really important to me, you know, just to see if there's anything new that I can learn and help people get through using technology, just but albeit a different way, you know, and just to give people that freedom of still using the device regardless of how their sight is or how it deteriorates. And it was through my brother, basically. He was at the RNIB and an opportunity came through when it was online today originally, and I volunteered with that, and I met Stephen Davidson and Christine Harrison, and they've been brilliant, and I had an RM manager throughout the time called Joe Fulton, who was also fantastic. So
it's been really, you know, great how you've decided to be a volunteer, and you've been doing it for quite a while now, haven't you?
Yes, I think it's really bad. I can't remember really how long. Christine and Stephen are always the ones that usually correct me on how long. I'm going to say it was 2016 I started, I think, but we'll need to fact check that with them, wow, to be fair. And it might be give or take, either way, just 1 or 2 years. But I'm going to say it was 2016. And I've really enjoyed it. Got to meet some amazing people, both staff and customers alike, you know.
So how often do you hold your tech hub at Edinburgh? It's at Hillside, isn't it?
Yes, at Hillside in Edinburgh. We run it every Thursday between 12 and 3, and it's about half an hour to an hour appointments, depending on how far the person's travelled or the amount of help that they need, depending on what it is, you know.
And do they come by appointment?
Yes, they come by appointment, yeah. So they phone up the helpline, and there's a specific option that they can press. I think it's option three, then option four. So that's great. I'm glad you can remember, because I'm so bad when it comes to them. Option three and option four, and that can take you right through to the correct team. I think it's yourself and Stephen that probably get their phone calls, actually.
We don't get them, but what happens is that the digital service advisors, they process all the calls, they triage the customer, that's the way it works, and then they put them on the system, and then if there's somebody wanting a tech hub appointment, then they put it on the portal for the volunteers, and then you would pick those up, presumably, and you would contact the customer and make the appointment with them. And that's the way it works with most tech hubs. The one in Belfast works slightly differently. There's a nice chap who will actually see anybody who drops in on a certain day of the month. They come in, so we'll be talking to him at some point in the future, and he can tell us how he runs the tech hub. So what kind of problems or issues do people have, Richard? What are the most common sort of things that people want appointments for? How do you help them?
So it can vary, actually. Sometimes it's setting up devices, you know, from scratch. They might come in with a new device and not know what accessibility options are available from the get-go. So sometimes it's helping them set up the device in the first place. Other times people come in with a device that they've been used to using, and, you know, in one way, there's two different types of customers that can come in a sense, where, you know, you could have someone who has been maybe blind or partially sighted their whole entire life, and they're just maybe unaware or recently found out that, you know, thanks to all the accessibility features and all the great new apps out there, that they are able to use a phone with just some guidance, you know, and also learning and understanding that, you know, there's nothing that can go drastically wrong that can't be fixed as such. And then there's another customer where they could come in where maybe they've had sight throughout their life, and they're used to using their devices on a day-to-day basis. You know, I think we all use our phones quite regularly for many different things, whether it be, you know, phone, text and messaging, music, you know, a few different things. And when they're coming and they're thinking, oh, my site has either deteriorated or it's going to deteriorate worse, you know, I'm so used to using my phone, I need it for so many things in day-to-day life, how do I go about using that? So basically, it's just showing them the accessibility, the different accessibility features, you know, whether it be on, I can give you examples for iPhone, there's VoiceOver, where it's a screen reader. It reads everything on your screen. It's called TalkBack on Android, something similar. There is, you know, you can bold the text, you can large the text. Obviously, it depends on the person's site and depending on what's causing their site problems. You know, so we cater it around to, you know, they're what they need basically, and so it can vary in lots of things. You know, sometimes it can be asking, sometimes even how to use a specific app, or do you know if there's any other type of app that can do X, you know. So, you know, for instance, is there an app that can read a letter? So I'd pinpoint them to usually like an app called CNAI, which is an absolute fantastic free app where, you know, you can pick the phone up above a letter and hold it above the letter and it'll start reading the letter, you know. And it's just about showing people how to maximize the potential out of the devices that they already have to give them, you know, the most independence that they can have, and just the normal day-to-day life that we all kind of just really deserve and want, you know, and just all be a different way and maybe just using it different ways than possibly even used before or not even in the first place, you know. So yeah, it's very interesting.
So are you busy every week? Is it fair to say that you've always got people coming in every week?
Yes. So usually it was about three, if we can get up to three a day. If we can get one on either side, sometimes there's been days where it's four or five a day. It just depends on how the day works, and if I've got time on either side to facilitate that, and if I can always get someone else in extra, I always will. Or sometimes, you know, someone might come in and if I've got a spare moment, someone might come in and they're like, oh, I've got this problem, I was wondering if anyone could come and see it. And, you know, so sometimes on the odd occasion, someone might just come in and look to book an appointment from there. You know, sometimes people come in and that's how they book the appointment. So, you know,
And what would you say to anybody that was thinking about volunteering? How has it made a difference to your life? Because you clearly enjoy it, and yeah, everybody knows that you do enjoy it, Richard. Yeah. So what would you say to anybody that was perhaps blind, visually impaired, or even a fully sighted person and just wanted to give a few hours of their time? What would you recommend?
Please, if you've got the chance to definitely do it, please do it, because, you know, the one thing that I never, ever get bored of is someone finding out that they can use the device that they want, and they come in, you know, even customers today I've had, you know, they've been like, oh my goodness, thank you so much, like, you've shown me how to do this, you know, and it's absolutely fantastic. And just that, just knowing that you can make a difference to someone's life in a positive way, it's the main reason I do this, is just to make a positive impact. And then on a personal note as well, I suppose, like, you know, I've never been good with, you know, like puzzles, like, you know, like actual puzzles themselves or crosswords or anything like that. I've got dyslexia and dyscalculia, so I never really had a chance for them. So my kind of puzzle is that, you know, someone come in with a request or a problem, and, you know, it's about puzzle to see how can best get them in the best situation possible to make the available tools work best for them. And so it's kind of, on a personal note, it's a bit of a puzzle for me, but most importantly, it's that feeling of seeing someone walk out and them just seeing from where they've either started and then ended, you know, from the start of the journey, you know, if they've had a couple of sessions with me and they've started at square one, and by the time they've got to square six, they are fully confident. Some customers, even when they learn not that there's not a fear to have, you know, they'll come back to me and say, oh, by the way, this week I've tried this, you know, And it's just to see the confidence build as well in the person, the confidence build, and just to see if it makes a difference. That's the main thing, really, and just making that difference to someone. If it's absolutely fantastic, and the customers, like they're so fantastic. They're all like everyone I've dealt with, you know, over the years. They're just so kind people, and just it's just making that difference.
And you've actually won an award, haven't you, for your volunteering?
Yes, I did. Stephen nominated me for it, and it was a brilliant award, and I was so thankful and honoured to win that award, and it was absolutely fantastic. It just meant the world, you know, just to be,
recognized.
Definitely. You know,
and appreciated.
I mean, it's not like not that I'm in it for the recognition, but just that's the best way to see. And you always know you're appreciated by how you see the customers. But I suppose just to say it was nice to make people around me, like my family and that, kind of proud and say, you know what, I've won this award, you know, kind of thing, you know, which was nice, because, you know, I just want to make my family and my friends proud as well. And just, and it was just, it filled me with joy, just, you know, just to think that it was that kind of it. I was nominated for it in the first place, so I was over the moon and really thankful.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us today. If Richard hasn't inspired you, then I'm not sure what would inspire you, listeners. So if anybody is interested in becoming a volunteer for the technology service in particular, RNIB, there are lots of volunteering opportunities. But when it comes to tech, there is always somebody out there needing help. And if you'd like to volunteer, please do get in touch with the volunteering team at RNIB. You can make your inquiry, first of all, on the RNIB website, and you can also contact the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999. Richard, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you again.
And that is all we've got time for this week. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. If you've got any comments or questions, anything you want to share with us, what's working well for you, what's not working so well, let us know. We always love to hear about it. techtalk@rnib.org.uk. You can send a written message or attach a voice note as well. We'll be back with you, same time, same place next week. But from me, Callum Stoneman, Hubert Pavalkovich, Jackie Brown and Natalie Curran, bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye for now.
Bye.
See you next time.